At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Shop Superstart Premium, Extreme, or Platinum batteries at O'Reilly Auto Parts and get up to a $15 gift card after rebate. O'Reward members can also get a $5 reward with their battery purchase. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. Hope it's a payday for you. Maybe it is for you weekly and bi-weekly wage earners. Get out and go do something fun this weekend. There's more to life than just paying bills and raising kids. Get out and go do something. Take in some live music. Maybe go to the movies. Take in a show. Get out and go do some fun things. Enjoy life. We only have a finite number of days in which to do that. And the older you get, the less motivated you are to get out and go do things. So take it upon yourself to celebrate life this weekend. So many other people out there that certainly wish they could. So part of the deal. But here we are together, and we'll recap last night's women's basketball game. We'll look ahead to the rivalry game against Ole Miss. We'll talk some football recruiting. Got a pretty neat top 10 list for you today as well. And we're one day closer to college baseball season. And reminder, Mississippi State will kick off the year against the Manhattan Jaspers. In a three-game set, Valentine's Day weekend, we hope that you can attend. Should be a good team this year. Been running a series of articles this week, too, top five type stuff. You know, five returners to watch, five transfers to watch, five freshmen to watch. Tomorrow we'll run five X-factor players to watch as we kind of ramp up our coverage. Also, a positional preview yesterday for VIP subscribers at jeanspage.com, courtesy of Mike Nemeth. And so also running through a lot of these new offers. That's one of the great things about social media is kids can't wait to share. They have a new offer. And so we do our best to get them on the phone and just kind of found out where the Bulldogs stand with them. I know there's a little bit of recruiting fatigue right now, too. I mean, you begin to think about it. I mean, you had so much for that December signing period. And I remember the night before signing day, we were worried about LoJack. And he signed. We were worried about Tyler Lockhart, and he signed. We worried about Saquon Miles, and he signed. And we worried about Xavier Hardy, and he flipped to South Carolina. But we kept you abreast of things that were going on throughout those recruitments. And our batting average pretty good. Yeah, I would say elite when it comes to that sort of stuff. So come be a part of it over at jeanspage.com. If you're not a member, you can climb aboard for 30% off the annual subscription rate. And if you're a full revenue-producing customer, you can get a Paramount Plus as part of your subscription. How cool is that? Get one of the premium streaming services and the greatest in Mississippi State athletics coverage in one tidy subscription package. Snag our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I do. I love them more than just a friend. And I have for a long time. You guys are always looking for a great place to go out with friends or family, maybe a night out, go have an adult beverage and a nice meal, maybe have a lunch deal with business colleagues. Look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. There's something for everyone on that menu. While they specialize in hamburgers, it's not all they do. You can have that BLT salad, which is so incredibly substantial. I don't know that I've ever finished it, to be quite honest with you. I get the BLT salad grilled. You may like it fried. Am I judging? But I always get mine dripped in ranch dressing because I am from South Mississippi. It is a requirement for our existence, as you guys are well aware. You can also get those Sweet Heat chicken sliders. You can get the Sloppy Joe sliders. It's a great lunch portion. and maybe you ate big for lunch and you don't need to eat so heavy for dinner, maybe that's the route to go. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. It's on the menu. That's not, you know, coincidence. It's true. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Be sure and go check them out today when you're in town or on the way to town. Bulldog Burger Company can cure what ails you. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. We did not get the result we wanted last night in women's basketball. However, I thought the effort was there, and it kind of gives me some hope for kind of what's next. Mississippi State now drops to 15-4 and 2-3 in the Southeastern Conference. And we talked about it all throughout the preseason that, you know, hey, the opening stages of this Mississippi State SEC slate, pretty daunting. And I would venture to say we probably have won the games we were expected to win. Other than the Oklahoma game, we were probably expected to lose that one, and we won. So in some respects, I think we're a game ahead of schedule. Bulldogs back in action on Sunday against Ole Miss. We'll talk a little bit about that before we finish up this segment. But, yeah, we went to Tennessee, and, I thought we kind of brought some fight in the ballgame. You know, there was one segment there, just really in that second period, though, where things kind of got away from us. Looking back at the first quarter, you know, State down just two, and then in the second period, it ends up being a seven-point advantage in the quarter and a nine-point advantage at the break, and State simply could not get back over the hump. We win the third quarter by a point and lose the fourth by five, and State ultimately falls 86-73. Tennessee now 15-2 and 3-2 in the league. But, it's a good game. But, again, it kind of felt like after that, maybe late in that second period, it's kind of felt like this is going to go pretty much as expected. Jerkayla Jordan with 17 points in the ballgame in 36 minutes. Good to see her playing well. Did have five turnovers and did not hand out any assists. She's going to be the circle player in everybody's scouting report. If you want to beat Mississippi State, you got to slow Jordan down. Debrescia Poe, 4 of 6 and beyond the arc, 5 and 8 from the floor, 16 points total for her in 27 minutes of action. And Aya Russell, not a big night for her, 3 of 8 from the floor, missed all three of her three-point attempts and her only free throw to finish with just 6 points. Medina Okot, we knew she had to be a factor in this game in order for State to have an opportunity to win. She does pull down 11 rebounds, but just pitches in 4 points, a couple of fouls there. And a couple turnovers, did get a couple blocks. But this was a game that was kind of played in a half court. What I mean by that is that they got them down the floor a little bit, and they really didn't give us a chance to kind of set up defensively. So I guess the better, more apt description would be transition. They really got out and run. Their defensive pressure was a real problem for us. Denham DeShields, 23 minutes off as a starter with 3 points. She attempted one shot. It was a 3-point basket. She made it. Destin McFall has to be good for Mississippi State in order to win these games. 11 points for her in 30 minutes of action. So playing starter minutes off the bench there. Chandler Prater, 22 minutes, 6 points. And it pretty much, you kind of winds it down. You know, it's just one of those games that's going to happen. We shot 35% in the first quarter, 57% in the second, 57% in the third, and then 35% in the fourth. And it's so difficult, you know, when you're playing from behind, having to take low percentage shots, try to get caught up. Ruby Whitehorn with 20 points for Tennessee to lead all scorers. Just kind of one of those things that happens, man. And so now we'll turn our attention towards the Rebels of Ole Miss that picked up a win last night. I'm not sure what to make of this Ole Miss team. I don't know if you've watched them much. But this is a team, you know, ranked, now currently receiving votes. I'm just not quite sure what to make of them. We need to make a victim out of them. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Figure out a way to get a win here in this ball game against Coach Yo's team. And, for a while there, it felt like they had kind of wrestled control of women's basketball. You know, Vic dominated Ole Miss the entire time that he was here. I mean, it was just, you know, it was a rite of passage, you know, that Ole Miss is going to lose Mississippi State in women's basketball. Things changed a little bit. Current Rebels 12-5 overall, 3-2 in the conference. They are 2-2 in true road games and 1-2 on a neutral floor. So 3-4 in ball games away from the pavilion. Look back beginning of the year, they went to Paris, France. What a great trip that had to be. And they fell to number 3 USC by 2. They get back home. They blast Arkansas Pine Bluff 85-24. They get Delaware State 80-42. Jackson State 76-44. They get Boston College down in the Bahamas in the Continental Tire Bahamar Championship. So they win the first game against Boston College 92-55 and then lose to number 2 UConn 73-60. So, you know, hey, you know, some legitimate non-conference opponents. Some other ones, not so much. They blast Alabama State 89-24 and then lose at number 24 NC State by 7, 68-61. Get Tennessee State 85-38, get South Al 94-39, get Valley 78-44, Alcorn 93-41. And so you can see that, I mean, outside of a couple of, neutral site events, you know, the non-conference schedule hasn't been especially challenging other than that road trip to NC State. As they got into conference play, they absolutely destroyed Johnny Harris and Auburn on the plains of Auburn, 85-58. And then they go to A&M and lose that ball game by 2, 68-58. Vanderbilt makes a trip to Oxford and loses 87-59. This Vanderbilt team hadn't been very good. Alabama rolls into Oxford and wins that game 84-78. They, yeah, impressive win, I guess, at home against Florida. You know, Florida should never be bad at anything. But for some reason, women's hoops has kind of eluded them as the Rebels win 94-69 last night. And so, again, this Sunday, 2 p.m. in Starkville, the Egg Bowl women's basketball game. And we're only going to play one against them this year. We don't have a home and home. We only get them here. Let's look a little bit deeper inside the numbers here just to kind of get you prepared for that ball game. And you know how it is, man. It doesn't matter if you're a big, you know, fan of a certain sport, man. When State and Ole Miss get together, we could have two kids dressed in maroon and red and sell tickets to a game of Chinese checkers. But scoring-wise, they're averaging right at 80 points a game, allowing just 52. So defensively, they have been pretty good. But I think some of that, too, is also the quality of non-conference competition overall. Maybe not quite as good as you'd expect. But we're in the same boat. We didn't play UConn. You know, we didn't play USC. Shooting 46% from the field, allowing 38%. 32% from beyond the arc. They're also a little bit susceptible in perimeter defense. About 30%, but not nearly as many shots going skyward from the opposition there. Been a pretty good free throw shooting team, shooting 71%. They are plus 9-2 in rebounding, 39 boards a game and right at 30 for their opponents. They do play a pretty good brand of team basketball, 310 assists. That's 18 per game, only allowing a little bit under 10, right at 9.8. Turnovers. They force a bunch of those. Opponents have turned it over 399 times. The Rebels just 228. You know, assist turnover ratio for Ole Miss is 1.4. Getting almost 28 points a game off turnover, so you're going to have to beat the press. 213 steals for this Ole Miss defense, 96 allowed. They will get their hands up too, contest some shots, 87 blocks, right at 5 a game. Looking at some individual numbers here as well. Hope you guys are well. All right, it's Sierra Theanu. She had a career game last night, memory serves me correct. Shooting 45% from beyond the arc and leads the team 13.1 points per game. Kennedy Todd Williams right there at 12.3. Star Jacobs, 11.5. Madison Scott, 10.5. And then from there, you know, he drops off a little bit. K.K. Deans with 9.3, but they do have some depth. Looking at this, 3 of the 5 starters have started all 17 games. Sierra Theanu, 13 starts and 17 games of action. It's just kind of part of the deal. And again, you know, to suggest they're a poor team would just be disingenuous. You know, we're going to have to play well to win this game. I do expect State to win. I think being in front of our fans at Humphrey Coliseum, kind of being excited about what is to come. I suspect that we'll have a good crowd. I think there'll be some folks that will kind of take in the basketball doubleheader and just stay over this weekend in Starkville. And if you're considering that, we want to encourage you to come be a part of that. Should be a very, very interesting weekend. You know, Egg Bowl basketball as it all rolls out. All right, let's go ahead and jump into today's top 10 list. Today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E, Wood Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. They don't tell you that when you're young. You're going to need a mortgage loan originator. Perhaps the dream of home ownership has eluded you and you're having to throw your money away, renting, making somebody else rich, paying somebody else's house off, right? Build some generational wealth. You know, have something to leave your kids. Even if they don't live in your house, you know, give them a paid off home they can sell. You know, kind of give them a little bit of a head start or a reboot in life themselves. Dial 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344 to get a hold of Blair. Call or text directly to him. You don't have to go through a call center or receptionist. You get the man himself. 24 years of experience in the industry. Back-to-back-to-back years. Top 1% close ratio in the country. Thus the name Close with Blair. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the name to know. He is one of us. A lot of connections with some great real estate agents around the state, licensed to practice in multiple states. So give him an opportunity to serve you, whether you live in Mississippi or not. And if he can't help you, I'm sure he can recommend someone who can. Again, Blair is a guy that's been in my life for a long time. I don't do business with people I don't trust, so I wouldn't recommend him to you if I didn't know that he would do a good job for you. We've had several listeners that have closed loans with Blair, some in record time, because Blair knows how to get things done. He will structure your loan that gives it the best chance to get through underwriting without being pinned. Sometimes you get pins. You love those approved as submitted loans, I'm sure, right, Blair? But sometimes you need some more information. Blair can help prepare you for that. Again, that's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay. Yesterday was Susanna Hoff's birthday. I don't know if you guys knew that. And some of you were like, Steve, who's Susanna Hoff's? Well, I guess today's her birthday. Well, happy birthday. For some reason, I thought it was yesterday. But it's happy birthday today. It's hard to believe this. That Susanna Hoff's is now 66 years of age. You say, well, you kind of do the math, Steve. We were all teenagers, you know, watching her on MTV, dreaming about her at night. We were all teenagers, so yeah, she was older than us, and now we're all getting old too. But Susanna Hoffs is kind of an inside joke with me and some of the guys in our group text. And it's nothing inappropriate, but yeah, it's so interesting. That Susanna Hoffs is 66, and if you see, I follow her on Instagram. She's great. Still looks great. You would never know that she's in her mid-60s. And, you know, obviously, you know, good genetics plays a part in all that. But also, too, I mean, hey, you've got resources to get a little work done every now and again. That's a good thing, too, I guess. But I thought we'd celebrate her birthday today with a top 10. And that includes some Bangles stuff, too, right? She was the lead singer of the group, the Bangles. She's also been involved with some other bands. And unbeknownst to many of you, she was part of a group called Ming T. We'll say, Steve, who is Ming T? Well, Ming T, of course, that's the Austin Powers. Yeah, Matthew Sweet was part of that, Mike Myers, and of course, Susanna Hoffs. And she performed on songs in all three Austin Powers movies. And so the one that we're going to go with today is Daddy Wasn't There from Ming T. And if you know Matthew Sweet, too, that album 100% Fun is absolutely outstanding. And Sweet and Hoffs worked together on a couple albums called Under the Covers, and they covered a lot of classic rock songs together. You know, Susanna's not really the rocker, per se. She's kind of a top 40 adult contemporary singer these days. But that's kind of an interesting thing, too, kind of an aside, too. So if you're a Susanna Hoffs fan, maybe you didn't know that, but that Matthew Sweet album, 100% Fun, was one of my favorites in the post-grunge era. All right, number nine, a recent guest spot here, I guess a few years back, a band called Travis. And Susanna, not just a backing vocalist, but an actually kind of a duet here. A song called The Only Thing. Travis's album, 10 Songs. You know, very creative title there. But I think you'll dig that one. And again, she's still very active as an actress and a musician and a mother. It's pretty incredible to think about that aspect of it. I guess most of her kids are probably grown now, a couple kids, but born in the 90s. So, yeah, you would think they're probably living life on their own. So here we go. The majority of these songs you're going to know now. Number 8 is actually a cover, but it's a very interesting song. If She Knew What She Wants, it's a Bangles song. Our top 8, 7 of those 8 are going to be Bangles songs. Now, Jules Shear actually wrote the song on the 1985 album, The Eternal Return. And then the Bangles re-recorded it for their album, Different Light. A little bit different version, renditions a little bit differently, but it was a top 40 hit. And that's the thing, too. You think about, you know, If She Knew What She Wants. That's a story of life. So much of that, I don't want to sit here and talk poorly, but there's a lot of indecision with the fair sex. You don't believe me? Ask her where she wants to eat. Number 7, the long Susanna Hoffs solo track that we're going to have on our list today came off her debut solo album, When You're a Boy. Kind of an ironic title there. But it's My Side of the Bed. And it's a love song. You know, it's really, maybe a little more involved than that, you know, once you're on my side of the bed. Interesting song, much different than the Bangles. You know, the Bangles, and honestly, as great as Susanna Hoffs is and was as a performer, her best run was with the Bangles. I think they really brought out the best in her. I don't think there's really much question about that. All right, number 6, a track called Walking Down Your Street. Are you familiar with this one? That's another Bangles track off of the Different Light album. The Bangles were fun, man. They really were. They were. They didn't take themselves too seriously. They're all very talented. They're also very beautiful, but I think the talent probably shines more so. There's a lot of those, female pop groups from the 80s that it was, you know, they were kind of studio creations, but the Bangles were kind of the real thing. They just happened to be good-looking women, but they could play and sing. And so it's one of the things I like about the Bangles. There's some authenticity. It's not some record company creation. They started a band on their own. They didn't just apply for an audition and have some producer put them together and says, okay, this is the band. And then a year later, after their star began to fall, they just disbanded like some reality TV show. Number 5. A song written by one of the greatest performers that we've ever seen in our lives. It's Manic Monday. Written by Prince. Maybe you guys were aware of that. Maybe you weren't. But that isn't actually a Prince song. And there are some live versions out there of Prince actually performing the song. Maybe you're familiar with those. Maybe you're not. But it's true. It was made popular by the Bangles. But it was written by Prince. And it was originally written for Apollonia 6. You remember her, right? From Purple Rain. Didn't work out and ends up being a huge hit for the Bangles. You often wonder maybe how life had been a little bit different for Apollonia 6 had she recorded this. It's a very relatable song. But it was written way back in 1984, and then the Bangles have the opportunity to record it and have a huge, huge hit with them. Number 4, In Your Room. Cool track. One of those dating songs. I think you'll dig that one too. But another one of those tracks too that you may have forgotten a little bit about, and all of a sudden you turn it on. Oh yeah, I know this. I know this. Well, sure you do. Sure you do. Pretty incredible. When it's all said and done. So be sure and enjoy that one as you go. All right, you know, we don't do a lot of covers on here, but we've kind of done, this will be like our third one. Manic Monday, I would still kind of classify as a cover, even because the Bangles didn't write it. Make sense? But my favorite cover from the Bangles was on the Less Than Zero soundtrack, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Big Jamie Gertz guy. I'm a Jamie Gertz stan. Love Jamie Gertz. Had a huge crush on her. And she, I don't know if you know this, she's one of the most, the wealthiest women in the world now. It's crazy. One of the wealthiest women in the world. Jamie Gertz. You know, from Lost Boys and, you know, Crossroads and all that stuff. Yeah. Crazy. Hazy Shade of Winter was originally recorded by Simon and Garfunkel back in 66. And then the Bengals repped it up, changed the arrangement a little bit, and then laid it out on the Less Than Zero soundtrack. I have shared before with some of you all, the Less Than Zero, that movie, if you're unfamiliar with it, I would encourage you to watch it. Of course, Andrew McCarthy and James Spader are in it. And for you young bucks, James Spader was Robert California on The Office. If you ever really want to know what it's like to be in addiction, that's the movie to watch. It is a very unvarnished look at what addiction to life-changing drugs can do to you and your family. And I encourage you to watch it. It's a cautionary tale. Of course, Julian, played by Robert Downey Jr. And then and after that movie, much of his life kind of exemplified the character, Julian. And I share that with you because there's so many people that, you know, they see all this as an issue of morality. And at the core of all this, it's pain. And there are a lot of people that struggle to process pain. And maybe you're tougher than some of us. But some people experience some things that are so incredibly traumatic, it kind of gets hung up in the gears a little bit and they can't get it out. And so without professional intervention or the 12-step programs and things of that nature, the only way they know to deal with life is through substance abuse. And so I think it's important to bring some understanding about that. And I think that movie, in many respects, kind of shows you. Three friends that were together, two guys that were best friends, and then one of them's girlfriend. They were going to go out and go conquer the world and have all these great dreams and things of that nature. And then, you know, life throws some curveballs. And so I encourage you to watch it. Number two, arguably the most memorable song, I think, from a critical standpoint in the history of the Bengals is Eternal Flame. An incredible love song. The vocal is beautiful. The arrangement is beautiful. I think it's one of those songs, too, that I remember when this thing came out. And a lot of people thought that maybe the Bengals were going to kind of be a one-hit wonder, and they absolutely were not. And then Eternal Flame comes out, and people are like, okay, they're not just a pop band. There is some substance to this group, and there's no question about it. And it's a song that was written by Susanna Hoffs. Of course, it's credited, mainly to her and her team. But this is one of those songs that kind of typified the late 80s off the album Everything. It was released in early 1989. And again, it's one of these incredible songs that just kind of mark an era for us. And so I would encourage you to check that one out too, if you're unfamiliar. For some of you, this is a trip down memory lane. And you know what number one is before I even say it. And it's Walk Like an Egyptian, right? And that was the thing when that came out. Number one, you had these incredibly cute girls on stage doing this silly dance. And people were like, what's this about? We didn't even care. It was just fun. It was fun. It was actually the third single from the Different Light album. But it's really the one that kind of broke them. If She Knew What She Wants came out first, but then Walk Like an Egyptian kind of turned them on to a new, you know, segment of fans. Pretty incredible, really. The song's so silly, and there was some interesting stuff in the video. The video is super fun, too. It's perfect for MTV. It was actually nominated in 1987 for the MTV Video Music Awards, back when MTV played music. But there was still this silliness. And there is the one scene that is kind of a legendary scene when Susanna Hoffs, they close in tight on her, and she kind of gives the side look. And it just drove everybody wild. And I don't know why that is, but nobody has ever won eyeliner and mascara better than Susanna Hoffs did in that video. It made her a household name. Before, they were like, hey, who's that cute girl with the guitar with the bangles? Now it's like, oh, that's Susanna Hoffs. Everything changed because of this song and because of that video. And many an adolescent dream was had about Susanna Hoffs. And it's so funny. I sent Roy the list today. And I'm going to read you what he said. He's so funny. Because this is just, you know, Susanna Hoffs influenced generation. He goes, I had the biggest crush on her. I even had a lab partner in state that may have been her doppelganger. Yeah. Everybody had a crush on Susanna Hoffs, for sure. So we'll celebrate her birthday today. I mean, you never know how long we're going to have to celebrate these folks. But it's good to know, too, you know, that there was a little more to Susanna Hoffs than just the good looks and, you know, the 80s. And that she's still acting and performing and out doing some productive things with her life. There are a lot of artists from that era that just weren't able to find work later. I mean, you kind of get typified to a genre or typified to a decade, and you get a bit typecast. That wasn't the case with her. And if you go look, like, at her IMDb page or look at her Wikipedia, I mean, she is credited with so many incredible TV and movie performances. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it is. You think, wow. I mean, it goes to show you that there's some real gumption with her. And that's good to see, you know. And as a solo artist, what you have, 9 albums. Three of those, of course, the covers albums with Matthew Sweet, Under the Covers, Volume 1, 2, and 3. But she released an album in 2023 called The Deep End. And there supposedly is, quote, the lost record that has not been released yet. But, yeah, like, looking at her, you know, she has done extensive vocal work, is a background singer. And then you look, I mean, she dates back, you know, to her filmography way back to 1978. It's all great. Also on the Gilmore Girls, remember that show? Early 2000s. And she was in Goldmember with Austin Powers. I mean, and then recently, in 2023, she was a guest on the Muppets Mayhem show. Pretty cool stuff. So, again, happy birthday to Susanna Hoffs and to all of you that love the Bangles or love the Bangles or, you know, maybe you just love Susanna Hoffs. But we can celebrate that. And so, again, it popped up. And, again, I thought yesterday was her birthday, but it's today. So we celebrate with you, Susanna, and thank you for the many years of music and, you know, for your work with the Bangles and everything else. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I know you do too. If you've got a relationship with Campus Bookmart, how could you not love them? And if you don't, shame on you. You're probably paying more for less selection of Mississippi State merchandise by going elsewhere. Visit Campus Bookmart next time you're in town. You'll be glad you did. I get a hug every time I go in there. I don't know if that service is available to everybody, but I always get the courtesy hug when I go in, whether I buy anything or not. The best selection of Mississippi State merchandise can be found at Campus Bookmart, and it's not just clothing and apparel. It can be other items to help outfit your fan cave to let everybody know that enters your humble abode that you are a Mississippi State Bulldog. Big advocate of those diploma frames, too. They got a wide selection of that as well. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's Internet. And by being a loyal Bondyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay. As we mentioned, it's Egg Bowl basketball weekend. Kind of a neat thing in the schedule that we get the opportunity to do that. And this Ole Miss team playing well. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're playing well. Now, granted, you got to go on the road and play in a hostile environment. Well, they just did that. It's went to Tuscaloosa. Now, I don't know how great Nate Oates' team is going to prove to be at year end. But to go to Tuscaloosa and win, it's an impressive result. Ole Miss currently 15-2 overall, 9-0 at home, 3-1 away in true road games, and 3-1 on neutral floor. So 6-2 in games outside of the pavilion. They opened up with a 30-point win over Long Island. Of course, they get barely by Grambling State by 2. And you remember when that happened, many of us were like, this Ole Miss team is overrated. Well, that just kind of proved to be a bad night. The throwback game in the Tad Pad, they get South Alabama by 10, and still many of us weren't impressed. Colorado State comes in, they get them by 15. Then they get Oral Roberts by 32. And then BYU in San Diego, California, is part of the Ratty Children's Invitational. They win that game by 11. They nearly get Purdue in that same event, and they lose 80-78 in that ball game. Purdue, of course, a pretty good team this year. They go to Louisville, and they beat the Cards in the SEC-ACC Challenge, 86-63. Game was never in doubt. They get Lindenwood that weekend at home, and they beat them 86-53. They get Southern Miss 77-46 down in Biloxi. Southern University comes in. Tough to get up for that. They still manage to win by 13. Queens comes to Oxford and loses by 18. Well, then they go to Memphis. And shortly, it's a week after we'd played them. And we'd gone up there and won, and then Penny gets these guys by 17 and really kind of put the hammer to them late. And people were like, aha, I knew these guys were frauds. That's what people were thinking. Well, now we've got an SEC play. Ole Miss is answering the bell. They get Georgia 63-51 in Oxford. So you win by a dozen there. They go to Arkansas, get those guys 73-66. LSU, who was expected to be the worst team in the conference, they get them by a dozen. And so, again, you look at this and say, okay, you know, Georgia's kind of middle of the pack, and they've had some big moments at times. Arkansas, you know, the Calipari experience, maybe not what it will be later in the year. LSU not very good. So you think, okay, these first three games, it's just three games. But it's a pretty loud win to go to Tuscaloosa and play in Coleman Coliseum and win 74-64. And they did. And so you got to give them credit for that. And so I'm not exactly sure which Ole Miss team shows up, because, again, they've had some games against non-conference foes you look at and just kind of scratch your head about. But to look at that 4-0 SEC mark at this point, you got to take this team seriously. Kind of getting deeper inside of the numbers here. Averaging right at 79 points a game, averaging giving up 64. So scoring margin favors them by 14. 45% from the floor. That's a pretty gaudy statistic. You know, some of that, of course, is, you know, working well in the paint. But, you know, when you're making every other shot, you got a good chance to win. Pretty impressive. Defensively.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Giving up right at 40%. You know, so maybe there's some things that can be had there. You know, 35% from beyond the arc. They're allowing right at 29%. Making almost 9 threes a game, allowing 7. We're going to need more than 7 to win this game, in my estimation. 73% from the free throw line. It's a pretty good number. Rebounding has been a bit of an issue for them. We talk about pain play. They're getting out rebounded. Even with some of this non-conference stuff you look at, they're actually getting out rebounded 35.8 to 35.2. So just right at half a board a game. We need to win that. We need to make more than seven threes, and we need to win on the glass in order to win this game. Team basketball, pretty even. 15.8 assists per game, allowing 12.5. They turn it over 155 times and force 272. So right at 1.7, though, in the assist-to-turnover ratio for them. That's a pretty good number, and it's less than one for their opponents. 18.5 points a game off turnover. So maybe not the transition team they have been at times, but they were under Andy Kennedy. But, it's pretty clear they've got a pretty methodical offense. 174 steals. It's about 10 a game. They've allowing about 5.5. So they're protecting the basketball. And so, again, the numbers kind of indicate this is an Ole Miss team that's really good. It's not just the record. I mean, it's not like you look up and say, hey, Steve, it's just kind of fluky. No, I mean, these guys have played good ball. Sean Padula leads the team with 13.9 points per game. Jalen Murray with 11.9. Matthew Morrell, it seems like he's been there long enough to be a doctor, 11.5. Dre Davis, 10.1. And you've got two other players, one a starter and one kind of the first guy off the bench. Jamin Brakefield, 9.6, and then Malik Dia, 9.5. And so essentially you've got six players here that are averaging double figures. There is a little bit of depth, though. Mikael Brown-Jones, about 6 points a game. Davin Barnes, 6 points a game. But the bulk of the minutes go to about six or seven players. So maybe not as much depth. And maybe style of play kind of lends to that. You know what I mean? Like if you're out there running, you know, you're playing 40 minutes of hell. I mean, yeah, you need to probably run 8, 9, 10 players a game out there to keep everybody fresh. A little different dynamic with this team. I'm eager to see the game. Looking at conference numbers here, too, because, again, 4-0 start in the conference. I don't care what the schedule looks like. When you're 4-0 in this league, as good as the league is this year, you got to respect it. We mentioned Malik Dia earlier. In conference play, he's leading them with 17.5 points a game. They haven't been especially prolific from three in conference play, but good enough to keep you honest. Matthew Morrell, who we mentioned, he's 11 points in conference play. Padula, 11.5. Brakefield, 11.8. But it's been pretty consistent with the starting five of Dia, Morrell, Padula, Davis, and Davin Barnes here as of late. They've started all four SEC games. So we're going to have to get out and play. And this is going to be one of those typical Mississippi State, Ole Miss games where both teams will make runs. And I think you guys can make the difference. I think it's extremely important for us all to be there to support the team. Going to be an interesting day at Humphrey Coliseum. And it could be one of those games, too, you look at, because we felt like for, up until like the last couple of weeks, we felt like, oh, yeah, we're going to get Ole Miss. We'll get Ole Miss. And we may get Ole Miss. But if you are thinking this is just going to be a walk in the park, you're kind of kidding yourself. So it's a 5 p.m. tip Saturday night. And so maybe do all your honeydew stuff in the morning. Make the drive to Starkville. Enjoy the ball game. Spend the night. And get up and go see the ladies play and go home. Maybe you haven't even considered that possibility. We'd love to have you come be a guest and spend some of your money here in Stark Vegas. But I think this is one of those games where the crowd can make all the difference in the world. And I go back and I think about what Noah from Florida said years ago. Remember how great those Billy Donovan teams were at Florida? And they asked him, I think it was ESPN, and asked him, what's the toughest road environment? And, of course, this is a team that played at Georgia, played at Kentucky, played, Final Four. And he goes, man, it's got to be the hump. And all the players agreed. They said, man, the fans are right there on top of you, and it gets so loud in Humphrey Coliseum. And so for a team that accomplished so much, to be able to talk about the environment at Mississippi State is one of the greatest compliments we could ever get as a fan base. And so, of course, tickets going to be hard to come by. Be careful on the third-party market. Be careful. Rather than just go on Facebook and say you're looking for tickets and have some robot sends you the message. Because like, you ever notice like certain words that you put out there, and all of a sudden, like if you ever mention it, you get hacked. Oh, well, message so-and-so, they helped me. I mean, just some random account. Those are bots. And that's what happens when you are looking for tickets. Sometimes these people will show up and say, hey, message this person, they took care of me, and it's not true. And so I encourage you to stick with StubHub or Ticketmaster and one of the credible resellers, because if something goes wrong, you can get your money back. If you PayPal somebody on Facebook that you don't know or have a connection with, you're not going to get your tickets more times than not, and you're certainly not going to get your money back. So be very mindful of that as you kind of prepare for your weekend. Let's look around the SEC just a little bit here, kind of see how things are going. We talked about, you know, many times about how, you know, this league is so unforgiving, you know, and it is, and especially on the men's side. Again, there are some women's games that maybe aren't going to be quite as daunting, even though you can never take anybody for granted in this league. On the men's side, it's just, you never know when you're going to run into a buzzsaw. You simply never know. So Auburn, number one team in the country, won 9 games in a row, 16-1 overall. Ole Miss, 4-0, won 4 in a row. Of course, they'll be here. And then Tennessee, 3-1. Alabama, 3-1. Kentucky, 3-1. Missouri, 3-1. And then a glut of 2-2 teams there. Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, Vandy, A&M. And then 1-3 teams, LSU and Texas. Did you expect Texas to be 1-3? And then the bottom of the league, Oklahoma, Arkansas, South Carolina, all 0-4. And you remember, there were so many people. And listen, Arkansas is a proud fan base, especially when it comes to men's basketball. You remember those great Corliss Williams and Scotty Thurman teams? They were so much fun to watch, right? They were. And so Arkansas fans, I think, and many of them are still kind of trapped in 30 years ago. Now, Musselman's done a great job there. But you look up and they are 0-4 in league play. And you begin to kind of wonder, you know, how's this thing going to play out? It's true. You know, we talked about, you know, the non-conference can kind of prop you up a little bit. But there was some signs that maybe this Arkansas team had some flaws. South Carolina, of course, you know, state's first-round opponent in league play, you know, we absolutely destroyed them, and we begin to wonder, okay, what's the caliber of this win? Well, right now it's an SEC win, so it counts the same in the standings. But they're 0-4 in the league, too, and 10-7. They have the worst record overall in the league. And begin to kind of wonder about that, too. There were so many people that thought that maybe we hired the wrong guy. But, Paris Island hadn't been quite the sunny locale I think that people expected. And it'll be a busy weekend, as you guys. And that's one thing about Saturdays. If you love college basketball, and so many of you do, you can get up in the morning and you can watch college basketball all day long. We gripe and complain about ESPN and the SEC Network. And even though I think so many of the people calling these games are clueless, at least we get to see them, right? So tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Mississippi State time, Alabama and Kentucky. Top 10 matchup. What a way to kick off the day. And then right behind that, Auburn and Georgia. You get into the matinee, Tennessee at Vanderbilt, South Carolina at Oklahoma. Somebody's going to get their first SEC win. Texas, of course, then at Florida. That could be a rough day for the Longhorns. You're welcome to the SEC. Arkansas is at Missouri. You know, and again, Missouri playing a little bit better basketball these days, and it's so tough to go up there and win. Of course, Ole Miss and State, LSU will be at A&M. And so that's the nightcap. That's at 7:30. So, again, you can get up in the morning, eat your breakfast, no matter where you live around the country, if you're not coming to Starkville, and you can just kind of plop down in the recliner, and you can watch men's basketball the entire day, SEC basketball, meaningful games that impact Mississippi State throughout the day. And I still think this league is really, really good. I don't think it's going to be like football was in the bowl season. I think you're going to look up when we get into the NCAA tournament, and I think you're going to see the SEC well represented in the Sweet 16. I hope that we're one of those teams. And a win this weekend can certainly help us, without any question. As I've mentioned, you know, we kind of had a feeling what we were about to experience, you know, Kentucky at home, the familiar foal, and then, you know, having to go on the road and play at Auburn, number one team in the country. We're just not there yet. We want to be, but we're not there yet. And so I hope that the fan support will hang in there, because this team is a good team. This team is a very good team. Maybe we're not elite, at least not yet. Still figuring some things out. But a win this weekend would really change the complexity, I think, of the outlook of a lot of our fans. You lose this ball game, you're going to have a lot of fans, you know, a lot of our fans that are kind of hardened and just tried and true Bulldog fans that love basketball. If we lose this game, you go ahead and get ready for the complaints. You know, it's a sellout crowd, but why can't we get our tickets in the hands of other Bulldogs? And I agree with that. But that's because people, even the people that have season tickets, people are going to bail. Now, we'll win a couple games and they'll come back. But this is how important that game is, not just from a net standpoint and not just from a standing standpoint, a record standpoint, but from a fan confidence standpoint. This game means so much. And there are so many people that say we put too much emphasis on the rivalry. And maybe there's some truth in that. But if you win this game, I think there is renewed optimism. You lose this game, I think some of the fence sitters will just sit there and say, well, I told you so. That's not fair, but that's what they'll say. And so that's how important this game is. I think it could really just kind of change the outlook of things. Because like I saw, you know, I saw these self-loathing tweets, and it bothers me. I mean, you're free to tweet what you want. I'm also free to have my own opinion of what you tweet. But sometimes, I mean, every time I get excited about State, I get the carpet pulled out from under me. I mean, come on, right? You know, we talk about being a family as opposed to being fair-weathered. One game is not going to define this season. But all of a sudden, if you put together a three-game losing streak, it could define the way that this team is received by the ticket-buying public. That's an important aspect of it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. If you're bringing a large group to town, rather than go out and get five or six hotel rooms, just keep everybody under one roof. You can recreate together. You can dine together. You can plan together. You can sit around and watch TV together. You can get around that fire pit. You can enjoy a cold one together. Full service kitchen, the wet bar, that great big back porch area, the fire pit area. Six bedrooms, two bath. Bathroom number three coming later this year. But here's the thing. The company is what matters most. You get this great facility. It's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It's off the beaten path a little bit out past the Highlands. You don't have a lot of neighbors around, so it's peace and quiet. It's not an opportunity for you to throw a rave. But the point is, you can be there and be focused on your family or your friends, whether it be a ball game weekend, whether maybe you got some vacation time you need to use. Come to the best place in the world, Starkville, Mississippi. Spend a couple nights. Go to some baseball games, some basketball games. Just kind of take it all in. You'll be glad you did. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page will come up, and you'll be able to see all the amenities that are available to you and your guests, and they are exquisite. Also, some booking options are going to come up. If you want to go through Airbnb or VRBO, you certainly can. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website, and I can save you a few bucks. Use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson. And the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay just by being a listener to this show. How super cool is that? And I can tell you the place is so well-maintained. I know both of the owners and so incredibly impressed with our stay there. And I had some friends stay there, but now I've stayed there. And I can tell you, it's a very cozy place to be. And we don't get together enough. We say it all the time. But why don't you say it and mean it and be the leader? I mean, your own family group or friend group, and say, hey, I've checked in and the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is available these dates. So which one is best for you? Because we're all going. Yeah. I'm going to go make some memories. The older your parents get, the older you get, the more it's going to matter that you can get everybody under one roof. So make some plans today. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Let's spend this last little segment we have together. I don't know if we go to full 1:30 today. There's a lot going on here. But nevertheless, Mississippi State kind of snuck one in on us last night. Yesterday, is Mississippi State extends an offer, another portal offer, to Trevor Mayberry of Stanford. And he's going to be officially visiting Mississippi State on Saturday. Now, let me get you up to speed on him. He is a 6'3", 315-pound offensive guard. Did not play in 2024. Injured in the preseason. Elected to just take the redshirt year. He had one available. Now he's entering the portal as a grad transfer. I guess, you know, that's not news that he's been going in. But prior to that, he was a big-time offensive line prospect, the son of a former NFL player, Tony Mayberry, who played with the Buccaneers, Pro Bowl three times, and he went to Penn. A lot of opportunities to go other places. He went to Penn, then transferred to Stanford. Now he's got 4 years of college under his belt. Again, didn't play this year. Had a chance to interview them last night. You can read that story over at jeanspage.com. His first comments since getting the Mississippi State offer and setting up that official visit. You can read it directly from him and not be attributed to sources. That's, you know, part of our industry. But it's always nice when we can get guys on the phone. But in 2023, he made 9 starts in 11 games and was a starting left guard for them. Now, we've talked about we needed to get a tackle, and all of a sudden we have a guy pop up here with NFL bloodlines that could be an interior guy. Now, I graded out the portal class. I think we did okay on the offensive line. I don't think we did great. I don't know that we found some difference makers. We found some solid players. But I think being able to get Mayberry would be big. Now, he obviously wants to get to the National Football League. All college players do. You know, he grew up with that in the house. And so he's been driven. And one of the things that I love about him, besides the fact that he's very talented, incredibly intelligent, as you would expect, and also incredibly articulate and very driven. He grew up wanting to be an offensive lineman, right? There are some guys, they're kind of hesitant. You know, not him. He always wanted to be a guy that puts up with the rigors of interior line play. And I think it's the guy that can help us. So it could be late addition. We still expect to take a tackle. We still expect to take a corner probably in the spring. But I like the fact that I'm hearing Phil Lodeholtz's name mentioned so prominently with recruits. You know, when we hired him, and it was, you know, the reviews of the hire was fairly mixed. But all of a sudden now, like just about everybody I've talked to here as of late on the offensive line, you know, hey, they've heard from Phil Lodeholtz. Phil's saying this and Phil's saying that. And so it's clear that he is hitting the ground running on the recruiting trail. And I thought Cody Kennedy had a pretty good year last year. He had a great portal class last year and a pretty good prep class. Of course, you lose Mario Nash. That's never a good thing. But portal class this year, I think, is just okay on the offensive line. So I like that Phil Lodeholtz is coming in and kind of recognizing, hey, I got to play with these guys, and I think that we probably need to add some pieces, and so let me go see if we can't get some. And then to go get a guy with NFL bloodlines that has been a Power 5 starter, I think that moves the needle a little bit. I think that excites the fan base a little bit. And I think that Phil Lodeholtz, in the short time that he has been with the program, is beginning to kind of put his fingerprints on this thing. And again, hey, if I'm the guy that's going to have to go out here and coach these guys, and I recognize some deficiencies after watching tape, it's my responsibility as the coach to address that. I still have time to do so. And so here he is making some moves. Excited about it. Now, State's going to host some juniors tomorrow. And we've got a list of some of the expected names. I mean, we never get them all. You know, we do the best we can, but there's always one or two that end up showing up, and we end up kind of finding out about it on social media. We catch up with them and kind of get their, you know, their feelings. We kind of recap the visits. And, you know, we try to get it done. Like, if they visit on Saturday, we want to get it done by close of business Saturday, or certainly by close of business on Sunday. So we kind of treat these junior day events like they're an official visit weekend, because you never know when a guy's going to get an offer. You don't know when a guy's going to commit. And plus, you want to be able to go ahead and get a phone number and get a relationship started with these guys so we can get you guys more up-to-date information. We take a lot of pride in what we do. Nobody is going to outwork us. There's some people out there that may outtalk us, but nobody is going to outwalk us, period. That's just how it's going to be. Matter of fact, this afternoon, we'll be interviewing some guys that got offered today. You know, we already got the interview set up. And basically, I think we got everybody other than, I think we had maybe a half dozen offers, maybe eight went out yesterday. And I think we got six of the eight already. It's important to us because, like, you see, you saw a retweet, hey, this kid got an offer. Well, what are our chances? Does he have a connection to Mississippi State? Is he going to visit Mississippi State? Will he be here this weekend or next? You know, what's the scenario? There's only so much you know from a tweet other than the kid got an offer. We feel like it's our obligation to get you guys more information, to kind of give you a sense of, hey, what's a kid looking for? Now, this time of year, it's like a funnel, right? Because everybody is a prospect. Everybody is a prospect. And so you go out, you do your due diligence, and you go do the in-school visit and thing like that, and you see if guys are as big as they are listed, and you start handing out some offers. Then you go back in the spring evaluation period, you can say, hey, this guy is maybe not as good or quick as I thought. And so that funnel begins to narrow. And the summer camps used to be a big part of things, but now that you can take official visits in June, a lot of those guys that have offers are not camping in June. Guys that come to camp in June that are juniors and rising seniors, those guys that are serious about Mississippi State, and maybe they have something to prove to your staff. But if you've got offers from, you know, several Power Five schools, you're not going to go camp. Why would you? Right? Unless it's a dream school scenario. I mean, like, we saw that unfold last year with Anson Lewis, right? Anson Lewis ultimately signs at Mississippi State. Didn't camp with us, though. Had the offer from State, camped at LSU, camped at Florida State. We didn't get a chance to see him earlier in the year because he was recovering from an injury. And so he camped elsewhere. And so as a result, it elongated his recruitment, right? Now, let's be honest. There are some people out there that are advising these kids. And sometimes it's good advice. You're like, hey, well, you've got this in your back pocket. Let's go shoot for the Blue Bloods, right? Well, you don't think about the message you're sending to those schools that have offered you. One of the things that I love, like I interviewed Adam Land yesterday, tied in at a Mosley High School, got offered last year following camp, comes back for a game day visit, coming back this weekend for a junior day visit. He's got five offers. He tells me, I'm not making a decision until I've seen all of these schools that have offered me. Now, he's seen some of them. And not everybody has the resources to do that. But you have to show some love to the schools that have shown you love. And so if you start thinking, okay, well, I've got these offers, I'll just take those for granted and go chase a bigger fish. Well, then what happens is the schools kind of interpret that as a lack of interest. And so as a result, they say, well, he could camp here, but instead he's going to camp at Alabama and Georgia. It's like he's taking us for granted. He's not showing us any respect. It'd be one thing if he camped with us and then went to Alabama and then to Auburn. But if he's not going to camp with us and camp at those schools, then, you know, he's taking us for granted. And I don't know why you wouldn't feel that way, right? I mean, as a professional, you have to say, okay, let me just take the best players that I can get. As you have heard me say many times, I don't want anybody from the cleaning crew to the coaching staff that doesn't want to be here, that doesn't think Mississippi State is the greatest place in the history of the world. Because that's what I feel, right? I want people here that are going to advance our efforts. People are going to come in here like an Errol Thompson and say, you know what? I'm going to go to Mississippi State. I like Mississippi State. It's not too terribly far from home. They showed me some love, and I'm going to go give my all for Mississippi State. And then when the opportunity comes later on, you know, to come back. And listen, I'm not one of these nepotism hiring guys, right? I think we need some bulldogs in the building, okay? But I don't think we need to outfit our staff with all alums. I don't feel that way. I do know that a guy like Chad Bumpus, who was highly coveted as a recruit, chose Mississippi State, came in here and set records for Mississippi State, and then went out and began his coaching career, you know, went to Austin Peay and then out to I guess he was at Buffalo for a while, then he was at Utah. I mean, so he's gone out and kind of proven himself and then come home. And he understands what it means to wear the uniform. He understands how important the rivalry is. He understands, you know, the decisions that these kids have to make. And so, to me, that makes perfect sense. Not to mention he goes to Utah and they win a conference championship with him coaching the receivers and had a really good receiver group. Makes sense to me. Makes sense. One of our guys out there accomplishing things on a Power 5 level, let's get him home. And we did. We did. And I think Bump had a really good portal class this year, too. I think all in all, Bump had a really good recruiting class this year. I think he had a good recruiting class last year. I think he had a really good class this year. And, of course, you look at it, you know, Mario Craver and JJ are gone. And then, of course, some of your portal guys, Kevin Coleman, are gone, too. And so we got to work a little bit on player retention. But that's not germane to Chad Bumpus. I mean, that's college football in a nutshell, right? It's a year-to-year thing right now. Which kind of brings me to something else that I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you've kept up with kind of what's come out here in the last couple of days. The Department of Education has said that essentially that rev share, that, you know, the percentages that are being proposed are not legal. What they are suggesting is that Title IX applies here and that not just all scholarship opportunities, but all revenue sharing opportunities have to be equal based on gender. So men's sports and women's sports have to receive the same amount of revenue sharing. Now, I don't know that that's fair, but there's certainly a lot of opinions out there about that. And that's something to be considered, and it's something that'll be litigated, you know, and here's the thing that I think about, you know, we talk about having a free market economy. Well, you know, if I start a band, okay, and, you know, we have a rock and roll album and we tour the world and we sell out arenas all across the country. And you start a bluegrass band and you go play at the Marion County Arts and Crafts Festival. Guys, we are not the same. People are paying to come see me play. You may have to go to Knott's Berry Farm and play for free. We're not the same. And so that's part of that free market economy. Now, of course, college athletics operates under a different model. So you have to allocate resources and scholarship opportunities. But for many schools, football is the only revenue-producing sport. And so you would think, well, we need to allocate more of our revenue sharing to football, because if we don't take care of football, football can't take care of everything else. Because football pays the freight for just about everything else. In some schools, most schools make money on men's basketball too. And in most schools, lose money on women's basketball. And so basically what they're suggesting is that, you know, you've got, you know, 85 scholarship players and 105 on the roster, that you got to give some of those people less because you've got to equal things out. And so that's going to be a very interesting dynamic that has to be worked through. And it's not always going to be about what I like or you like. It's going to be about what the courts decide is fair. And I think there's a lot of people out there that they're saying, you know what, hey, we've kind of reached a point of absurdity. And so I think, you know, eventually you begin to say, okay, well, how do we have protections? Do we privatize all this? You know, does the SEC and the Big Ten leave and pull a few schools with them and just create a football power conference? And does that move them out of the purview of the current model that we have? And that's something that will have to be decided in the courts. You know, everything that's out there has to be subject to the law of the land. And what I go back to is, like, in the beginning of all of this is the NCAA is a voluntary organization. Everybody's got to be treated fair. We all deserve equal protection under the law. But you know the rules when you sign, right? I know that if I sign with an NCAA member institution, I have to play by their rules. That's part of the agreement. Now, if you want the rules changed, you can work around the membership. You can bring things up for a vote because it's the membership that votes. It's not like the NCAA is the federal government. It's not like we all, you know, voted in representatives and then they're going to decide. It's the university presidents that end up voting at the end of the day. So the NCAA is a governing body, but it's not the government. And a lot of people think, well, the NCAA has absolute power. It absolutely does not. You know, it's beholden to its membership. And by signing a financial aid agreement to go to a member institution, you're saying, hey, this is the umbrella in which I exist. And so now everything is being challenged. And this has been in the works for a while. There is a lot of discussion about giving players 5 years of eligibility. Now, how does that impact high school recruiting? Well, I think for the first couple of years of 5 years of eligibility, it's going to tremendously hurt high school recruiting because there aren't going to be as many spots available. You know, how does that impact roster management kind of moving forward in multiple sports? I begin to consider this, like if baseball adopts 5 years of eligibility, how does that change the draft model? Because right now, guys get drafted as juniors. They have a year of leverage to work with when they go to the negotiating table. Now, all of a sudden, do you see, you know, that change? Do you see more guys staying for a senior year? And maybe not so much for a super senior year? Or do you have guys that stay for a senior year that go undrafted and then go in the portal as a fifth-year player and go somewhere else? You know, there's some unintended consequences from all of this that I don't think have been fully measured. But I think this 5 years of eligibility is going to pass. I think that is probably as common a belief that's out there right now. I have no idea how this Department of Education and this rev share Title IX thing is going to go. None whatsoever. I think there's a difference between providing opportunity and providing revenue, though. That's my feeling. You know, I think the schools should be required to have Title IX funding to ensure that there are equal number of sporting and scholarship opportunities for everybody. I think that's probably fair. But if your sport doesn't make any money, if you don't generate revenue, then why should you share in the revenue sharing? I think that is a decision that a school should have to make. And one of the things that I've said for years, and not many people agree with me, but you know, I think you ought to have a sport that's maybe an equivalency sport, as they call them, you know, which is partial scholarship sports, that you decide, hey, you can fully fund. And the example that I've always used is like we should not get a vote in how hockey distributes their scholarship or revenue. Why? We don't have a hockey team. We don't have a varsity hockey program. You know, so why should we vote? Why should we have any say whatsoever in what South Dakota State does with hockey? We shouldn't. And they shouldn't have a say in what we do with baseball. And for those sports that have hockey, the Title IX partner in that respect is women's hockey, right? And so our softball program shouldn't have a say in what happens in women's hockey. I think you got to stay in your lane. And so I think there should be the opportunity to say, hey, we want to fully fund baseball. South Dakota does not. So we're going to agree to let them fully fund hockey, and we're going to fully fund baseball. You have like a sport of choice that you want to specialize in. And you know what? That works on both sides of the Title IX agreement. If you're going to fully fund men's hockey, you got to fully fund women's hockey. And then that probably provides some other opportunities, scholarship-wise, for everybody involved. And we're going to fully fund baseball and softball. And then all of a sudden, you know, the players around the country say, hey, I'm serious about hockey. So I want to go to a school that's going to fully fund hockey. I want to be able to graduate debt-free. I don't want to have to go borrow money and pay to play myself. It's the same thing with baseball and softball. So now all of a sudden, you know, your Mississippi State baseball and softball players could graduate debt-free. Now, this new revenue-sharing program, and it's going to be interesting, right? And where do you pull the money from? If they begin to say, you know what, you got to split it 50-50 between men's and women's sports, where does that money come from? Well, it's probably going to come from football. You know, one of the arguments that I have made throughout this entire debate is there is scholarship inequity. And the thing that I did not like when all this thing first busted up is like, okay, you got football, men's basketball. Those are already full scholarship sports. Well, then you have baseball. It's a partial scholarship sport. And so what we decided among the NCAA leadership is, hey, let's give more money to the people that aren't even having to pay for school, and we're not going to address the fact that we have equivalency sports, you know, like volleyball and soccer, you know. And those student-athletes, even though they excel in a different sport, not only are they having to get student loans to fund their education, we're going to take more money and give it to the people that don't. And I'm surprised that that lawsuit hadn't gained more traction. You know, why aren't the equivalency sports, and I'm sure now, you know, some, it's just a matter of time. You want to talk about discrimination, that's discrimination. Maybe I wasn't big enough to play women's basketball, but I was quick enough and skilled enough to play women's soccer. But yet, because I don't play basketball, I have to pay to go to school and pay to play, while those ladies get to go for free and get a stipend on top of it, and now NIL and revenue sharing. Why is that permissible? My honest opinion is I think anybody that represents a particular institution on the fields of play should have their education paid for. I think that's probably something that is probably behind us now. You know, because now it's about, hey, it's not about your education. It's about putting money in your pocket. And one of the things that I began to think about, too, with this new rev sharing model, and I mentioned this on the jeanspage.com message board earlier today, there's a cap at 20.5 of actual revenue sharing. Now, you're going to have some NIL opportunities out there to kind of supplement. It won't be in its current form. You know, anything over $600, there has to be an actual business transaction, a quid pro quo, mind you. But what happens when Johnny Q Bulldog signs on with Mississippi State and says, okay, I'll take X amount of dollars in rev share? Well, then he has a big year. And so the next year he's like, hey, I love it here, but I want to come back, but I don't think that I got paid my worth. I think that I outplayed my revenue sharing payments. And so I'm going to need more money. Well, then you decide, well, we got to keep him. All right, so where do you cut? I got to sign all these recruits coming in, and I got to get that big offensive tackle out of the portal to protect Johnny Q quarterback. Yeah, but I'm not coming back, coach, unless you double my rev share. All that's going to do is bring back more cheating. Period. We've opened a Pandora's box, and we're not going to be able to get it closed. And I don't know where it all ends. But I know that this lawsuit that is coming, there will be others. I mean, we are in the early stages of litigation and all this stuff. It may be 10 years before it's all sorted out. You know, the House settlement was just the beginning, and I talked about that on the show. It's once that lawsuit is settled, right, that NIL thing, hey, well, you used Dak Prescott's picture on a billboard to sell tickets. So you used his name, image, and likeness for your own financial gain. And he should have shared in some of the profits. And then, oh, yeah. And I had people tell me, no, it's just going to be this class. I said, no, it's not. Once you set this precedent, then the generation of players before that will then sue. Because now they've been given grounds to sue. and there is legal precedent to support their legal argument. And what happened? As soon as the house settlement thing was open, all of a sudden Reggie Bush pops up. Hey, well, you know, USC used me and marketed me to sell tickets, and I didn't make any money. They sold my jersey. I didn't make any money. So how far do we go back? Do we go all the way back to when we had cartoon programs, when you didn't use an actual image? And one of the things that I would think, you know, somebody would stand up and just be loyal to their school and say, you know what, hey, I'm part of this class action lawsuit because I played at this time, but I'm going to donate my money back to the university. Right? Money moves everything around me, right? Or cash moves everything around me, isn't that right? Yeah. It's just nuts, man. It's absolutely nuts. And I know there is some fan fatigue, and that was one of the things that I mentioned today. I said, I hope in my lifetime we can just kind of get back to playing ball. It's the business of athletics now that has just kind of run completely amok. And just when you think you've got it figured out, you know, it's year to year we're having to build a better mousetrap because of some new litigation. It's like, okay, this house settlement thing is going to be behind us. We're good. Well, then lo and behold, you know, Diego Pavila files a lawsuit about JUCO eligibility. So now we're dealing with all that. And then, you know, this guy doesn't have eligibility. This guy does because of a start date, you know. And now, like, some people are telling these junior college kids, hey, no, your 2 years at JUCO didn't count. When this is all said and done, you're still going to have 4 years of eligibility to play. And then I begin to think about, if that's truly the case, you could have 25, 26-year-old men playing against 18-year-old kids. It's true. If that passes, you know. And so it's so incredibly confusing and so incredibly frustrating, but also understand some of this is necessary. Some of this is completely necessary. But I don't care if you run track or play football or, you know, throw a discus. If you represent Mississippi State, I'm proud of you, and I think that you need to get your fair share in all of this stuff. And I hope you get it, but I hope it's equitable to everybody and for everybody. And I just think it's unfortunate that you have, you know, first-round draft picks that graduate in baseball, or don't even graduate, but they get drafted and they have to use their signing bonus to pay off their student loans. Why people, let's just say for an example, I'll give you Ethan Small as an example. Ethan Small was a first-round draft pick and used his signing bonus to pay off his student loans. While he was the national pitcher of the year in college baseball that year, you had a career special teams guy, you know, at Alabama that never made any positive contribution outside of that, that graduated debt-free. So how's that fair? You go, yeah, but Steve, you know, it's a free market economy. You know, football makes more money than baseball. Okay, cool. So how do you square that with this recent Title IX stuff? There aren't many women's sports out there that are generating sufficient revenue to even balance their own books. And that's a story for another day. So it's a very complicated situation in which we're in. And, of course, you and I will talk about it. And but at the end of the day, you know, the thing that I look forward to is, you know, the young men and women that wear maroon and white taking the field in the court and representing us and going out there and competing for championships. But there's just every day you turn around, there's something new. And it's like once we began to pull at that thread, all of a sudden, everybody else but kind of grab on and goes, hey, well, if you're doing this, let's do this. So the entire NCAA model is being challenged in every aspect. And as one administrator told me this week, you know, Steve, I think the best thing for us to do is just to blow this thing up and start over. And that's probably the right thing. You know, many people have said for years, hey, the NCAA won't exist at some point. And I think maybe we're there. Maybe we are in the birth pangs of something brand new. And it's interesting. I've got one SEC administrator that shared some time ago. They think a draft is coming. Yeah. Yeah, that some students will be given the opportunity to just, hey, you just enter a draft. So rather than you go through the traditional recruiting process, you just go through the draft, and you'll be drafted. And then once you get on a roster, you know, hey, if you're unhappy, you can always go in the portal or whatever. Is that where we're headed? I'm not sure. But we'll be here to cover it either way. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies of The Dude and all my sports titles there. Also, When the Bottom Falls, of course, my book of recovery, kind of what it took to get clean and sober and what it's taken to stay clean and sober. And maybe just like an underdog story, encourage you to go get that as well. And it's super cool, too. One of our fans delivered a copy of When the Bottom Falls to the band Sleep Theory out of Memphis that were kind of the inspiration of the title, their song Another Way. I jammed that today. And he's like, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. The song was very inspirational to me. And it's always good to be able to share that with other people to know that their work matters. That made an impact on them. And so it's part of it. And come float with us over at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. I'm floating tomorrow. I haven't been able to float since the beginning of this portal thing, and I can tell it in my sleep patterns. I can tell it in my anxiety. I need to get in there and float. You need to get in there and float, too. If you're a person that suffers with chronic pain or anxiety, or maybe you just need a break, we may be able to help you, too. Dial 662-268-7601 to get more information. You can find Dano, give you a tour, and you can find out more about it. You know, we have four pods. And you can come float, and you can't float in the same pod, but you can float at the same time as your significant other and make a date night deal out of it. And you can spend some time kind of recreating and enjoying the oxygen bar in the Oasis room. Again, that's 662-268-7601. Hey, you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the flip side come Monday. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.